Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we continue our study of the Lord Jesus Christ. And following the letters of the alphabet, we are now all the way up to the letter S, the letter S. And what we've done, I think most of you have probably followed along with us enough now to know what we're doing, but what we've done is we have taken the characteristics and names and attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ that we find in the Bible, and we've grouped them alphabetically. And that way it helped us to organize our thoughts and presentations about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and every once in a while you'll end up with a little bit of an overlap. Soon we'll be talking about Jesus Christ being the stone. In another place, under the letter R, he was a rock. And while there are a lot of similarities, there are also some differences that we find in the Bible when you consider how the Lord deals with the word stone versus how he deals with the word rock as it concerns the Lord Jesus Christ. So it makes for a very interesting study. And, of course, we love the Lord Jesus Christ, and to talk about him is something we just soon do from now till the time Jesus comes. Well, we're on the letter S, and as you might imagine, there are so many characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ in the alphabet on the letter S that we really and truly have had to divide this study up into four separate parts. I think probably three parts is the most we've done on any letter up to this point. And so to divide this into four parts is interesting because there's so much to say, but also very convenient because it gives us plenty of time to deal with each aspect without having to rush. I look back now on the letter B, and I think we had 10 or 11 things to say about Jesus Christ on the letter B. And, you know, when you consider 26 minutes of preaching on a 30-minute broadcast, that's about a little over 2 minutes per point. You got to move on. Well, you can barely turn to the scripture, you know. And so we want to definitely give a little bit more time. Well, turn with me then to Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26. And notice the first thing that we're going to say about the Lord Jesus Christ under the letter S. He was separate. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. All right? Notice, he is separate from sinners. You see that? And made higher than the heavens. Now, that's very interesting, because when we actually look at Jesus Christ in this portion of the letter S, you're going to find out that he is not separate in the sense that he has separated himself from any opportunity to be a help. Instead, what you're going to find is that Jesus Christ is separate in the sense that he did not take on any sin. Therefore, he's holy. Therefore, he's undefiled. And he was made higher than the heavens in that he is above all things and separate from sinners in that he is above all things and above sin. So this separation of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, frankly, I'm really glad that Jesus Christ is not defiled. I'm really glad that Jesus Christ is holy. I'm really glad that he is made higher than the heavens, because I needed somebody who was not like me. Like me only in the sense that he was a human being, but not like me in the sense that he had done something wrong too. Why, I might be prone to accuse him. You know, when men want to justify themselves, they'll say, well, so-and-so did it. And if it's okay for him, it ought to be okay for me. See, I can't say that about the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't do it, whatever it is. You know what else people will do? They'll try to bring a man down. They'll try to make themselves better by stepping on the man. Like in the case of the Pharisee and the publican, the Pharisee didn't say, well, he did it, it's okay for me. He said, he did it, I didn't even do it. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not an extortioner. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all. I'm not like that publican. You see, put him down. And there are people that would do that to the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what happened at his trial? Pilate said on three occasions, I find no fault in him. And he was faultless. You see, it's a beautiful thing that the Lord Jesus Christ is separate from sinners, cannot be defiled. We go up, but he doesn't come down in the sense that he has to be defiled in order to reach us. Thank God that he could maintain that separation. Why? Because it gives me a place of refuge. It gives you a place of refuge. It gives some place for somebody who is only like us in that he became a man, but not like us in that he didn't sin. He can take us out of the miry pit and put us on a solid rock and clean us up. What a fabulous thing. What a wonderful ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful to God that he maintained that separation. He could pull us out of this mess and take us to him in his holiness. Now, as we said, Jesus Christ is separate in that he's not a sinner, but not separate in the sense that he is not capable of ministering to us. Let's look at some other S's and you'll understand what we're talking about. Look with me in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 is the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, Jesus Christ was not a Samaritan. He was born in Galilee, so he's a Galilean. He was born in Nazareth, actually not born, but raised in Nazareth, and he was born in Bethlehem, okay? So he's not a Samaritan. However, when he was talking to these fellows, and one in particular, who was a lawyer, in Luke chapter 10 and verse 25, the fellow wanted to know, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? That's an excellent question. Too bad more people don't ask it. And the Lord said to him, he said, what's written in the law? How readest thou? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Do you know that's exactly what Jesus Christ said in answer to a lawyer who asked him, tempting him, what the great commandment is? How do you read it in the law? Jesus said those two same things right there. So this lawyer nailed it. Jesus Christ is the one that answered the thing correctly in his questioning and his temptation. Jesus wasn't tempting this man. He just said, how do you read the law? And he said, this is what I see. And you know what the Lord said to him? Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? You see, he was willing to justify himself because he didn't want to have to love them all. Just wanted to love the ones he wanted to love. That's where this thing of the Samaritan comes in. You see, because Samaritans and Jews don't have dealings with each other. You remember the woman at the well. She was surprised that Jesus Christ would talk to her because, you know, she remarked, Jews don't have anything to do with Samaritans. So, and likewise, Samaritans wouldn't want to have anything to do with the Jews. And so, Jesus, in answering the guy, gives him this story about a certain man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. All right? Thieves stole from him. They stripped of him his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Well, he's lying there like a lost man. Right? So a priest comes by, where you would certainly expect, based upon the law in verse 27, that a priest would extend him aid. He didn't. He saw him and passed on the other side. A Levite, you know, those were the people that attended to the things of the tabernacle. They didn't offer the sacrifices, but they helped out. They were the ones who dealt with things. In the case of the wilderness journey, Levites were the ones that hauled everything. The priests packaged everything up or packed everything up inside of the tabernacle in all these various coverings, and then the The Kohathites went inside and got the articles, carried those off, and the Gershonites and the Merarites, they carried the cloth coverings, and they carried the boards and the pins and the staves and all that, and carried them on. Those are the Levites. So they are supposed to be holy men. Well, he saw him and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Then a certain Samaritan. All right, now, that's like Jesus Christ. Remember, he's not a Samaritan, but in this story, he is comparable to this guy. A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. That's the way the Lord Jesus Christ is with us. He found us wounded and half dead, stripped of our raiment, had fallen among thieves, the greatest thief of them all, the devil. He says about that thief in John chapter 10, he said he hadn't come but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Well, we'd already been torn up by him and stripped of our raiment, wounded and left half dead. And Jesus Christ saw us and had compassion on us. Now notice he went to him. Jesus Christ left his throne in heaven and came to this earth, bound up his wounds. You know, Jesus has made every provision for our weaknesses and our lack of sufficiency, and he does it with his grace. Pouring in oil, a type of the Holy Spirit, and wine, a type of his blood. We're washed in the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Spirit of God, and saved by the Spirit of God. Set him in his own beast. So Jesus Christ takes responsibility then for carrying us to the place of safety. The Bible says that when Jesus Christ died for us, he died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. See, he takes upon himself the charge and the responsibility to get us to heaven. Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. So he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn type of the church. People say, well, I can be saved and I don't need to go to church. You know something? You need it worse than you think you do. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 tells you you need to be there. He brought him to an inn. And when he got him to that inn, let me tell you something, that was a church there, like a church. A place where he could meet, a place of refuge, a place of fellowship. I've noticed in our ministry when people get picked up out of the throes of sin and allow their lives to slide, they get into the inn, they get in to the church. And you know what happens if they stay faithful? Their entire lives change, and what happens, and this is the beauty of it, this is the beauty of it. People then come to church later who are beat up by the sin, and they look around, and you know what they say to me? He said, I don't know if I belong here or not. These folks are all in such good shape. And I just laugh, and not laugh to make fun of them, but I say, you don't know where we were when we got beat up by sin and what we looked like. You are right at home in this crowd. Don't you worry. We all had to get drug in here on the beast to be placed in this inn in order to be seek a place of refuge and have our lives made whole. And he took care of him. The Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And on the morrow when he departed, like Jesus ascended into heaven, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host. Jesus Christ always pays the cost. The Bible says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And he said unto him, take care of him. And we take care of folks that Jesus Christ is saved until Jesus comes. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. And the Lord is going to reward you well at the judgment seat of Christ for any expense you bore on the behalf of his people in the ministry. You see that beautiful story there? Now he says to the lawyer, said, which one of these was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed him mercy on him. That's the ruling thing right there. Mercy. Mercy. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. You know what Jesus is to us? He's that Samaritan. Like I said, he's not from Samaria. But he fits the picture here in this particular story. You see, Jesus Christ came into his own received him not. He might as well have been a Samaritan. They said he had a devil. And yet he's the one that bore all of this. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'm meek and lowly, and learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Isn't that something? Really, really something. That's the Lord. But that's not all. He's separate from sinners, but not distance himself where he can't help us. He just didn't get defiled while he lived down here. And I'm thankful for that. He's like the Samaritan in that he has it borne upon himself by compassion and by his provisions every necessity of our salvation. But that's not all. In John chapter 10, he is the shepherd, the good shepherd. He says here in John chapter 10, in verse 11, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Now listen, aren't there days when you just don't really feel like Jesus Christ has given you the time of day, or probably more accurately, that you've given him the time of day? And that you sense some separation, some just been in the world too long, too many distractions, too much worldliness, too much, you know, just not that fellowship. You ever sense that? Let me tell you something. Your shepherd knows you. I know my sheep and am known of mine. Listen, he is interested in you being close to the flock. And he, as a shepherd, he's exactly what you need. You are never, when you are saved, you are never far away from the Lord, so far that somehow or another he doesn't know and doesn't care about your state of being. I can remember after I got saved and lived for the Lord for a while, worldly influences and so forth taking their toll, I strayed. And you know, honestly, being the little sheep that I was, I thought that I'd gotten far away enough away that he couldn't see me or wouldn't take notice of the things I was doing, kind of like Adam in the Garden of Eden, covered himself in fig leaves and then went hid, and as if somehow or another when the Lord came back through the garden to have fellowship with him, that he would not be able to find him. The Lord always knows where you are. He always knows what you're up to. He always knows where you've strayed. And you know, when a little sheep in the flock strays away from the flock and gets out there, the shepherd, you know what he'll do? He'll leave the flock of sheep, the 99, and he'll go out looking for that little lamb until he finds it. And if that lamb is a lamb that is prone to wander, you know what he'll do? He'll break that lamb's leg. You say, that sounds awful cruel. You know, I'm not through yet. He'll break that lamb's leg, and he'll throw him up on his back there and put him around his neck, carry him back to the flock. Now he's got a broken leg. What does that mean? Now he's going to have to carry him a while till the leg heals. But you know what he does that for? He does that so that lamb will know not to walk off anymore. And sure enough, after the leg is healed, that little old lamb will stay right there in with the rest of the flock. And the broken leg is a brokenness that actually is for the benefit of that little sheep. Why? Because sheep don't make it out there in the world on their own. You need a shepherd. People have the strangest ideas about their relationships with the Lord Jesus Christ sometimes, that somehow or another they think they can write the book on the will of God for their own lives and do everything that they want to do just the way they want to do it, and that somehow or another Jesus Christ is to be really impressed with how they've lived their lives, and they don't want anything to do with the flock. What makes you think that a person like that is going to want anything to do with the flock in eternity? What makes you think that that person knew or thought they could really know what was better for them? Sheep never know what's better for them. You read Psalm 23, they have to have somebody to lead them to green pastures, otherwise they'll stay in the same area till they eat it down, there's nothing left, and starve to death. They have to be made to lie down. They have to be taken to the water. You ever notice that stuff in the Old Testament, how the sheep, they're led to the water, and then somebody takes the covering off the well's mouth, and they water the sheep, and then they take them back, and they graze? Sheep are stupid. And you know what we are? We're stupid. We need a shepherd. This life cannot be lived without his protection, without his direction, without his provision, without his without his constant attention to every need. There comes a time when sheep need to be sheared, and he shears them. Sometimes they need to be cleaned, and he cleans them. Listen, that's why you want a shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You need a protector. Don't you know that if it was possible, the devil would come along and pluck you right out of the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ? You need a protector. You need him. And let me say something to you. He's the only one I know that's suitable for the job. The good shepherd. So he's separate from sinners, but like the Samaritan, he bears all the provision for our need to go from being wounded and half dead and stripped of our raiment and stripped of our possessions to being whole again. And he pays the bill. What a wonderful thing. And then on top of that, he's our shepherd, and we're like little sheep, and we're prone to go astray, and he keeps us all right there in the flock and takes real good care of us. I'm so glad I have a shepherd. Why? Because I can leave the direction to him. You know, it's so wonderful to be able to pray and say, Lord, you know which direction we need to go. You lead. We'll follow. All right, one more thing for our lesson here today. Remember, there's four parts to the S of Jesus Christ. But this is the last part today. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18. He is a succorer. Now, I didn't say a sucker. Some people think he is. No, he is succorer. Look in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 18. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. That's S-U-C-C-O-U-R. It's a word that's used today. You just don't see it used very much, but it has to do with somebody being a helper. You see, Jesus Christ came to this earth, and when he was here, it wasn't a free ride for him. He wasn't treated as royalty. He didn't have servants waiting him all the time, and he didn't sit on his throne and just hand out orders and have people bring him things all the time. No, he got in here and began his ministry and suffered everything that you're going to suffer. He suffered loneliness. He suffered exhaustion. He suffered hunger. He suffered thirst. He suffered betrayal. He suffered envy. He suffered the temptations of lust and pride. Everything you go through, he went through. And so, therefore, he is able to succor them or help them that are tempted. You know, the great thing that you and I have is that when temptations come, I'm too tired to do this. Temptations come. I don't think I can be faithful anymore. Temptations come. This is too hard for me, where he says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Or this temptation, this lust is too powerful. Or the pride that I have, too vicious. Don't worry about it. Jesus was tempted with all of that. He understands exactly what you're going through and exactly what you need to do to get out of it. So the next time you're tempted, don't run and try to figure out a way that you can handle this yourself so that you can then impress Jesus Christ with your ability. Just give up early and turn to him and say, Jesus, you know that I am no match for the problem I'm experiencing here. And so since you are the succorer, the helper, I'm coming to you and begging you to give me the strength and power necessary to deal with this so that I will not fall to this sin. And you know what? He'll be right there to take care of it for you. That's what he is. He's a help in time of need. That's what he is. A helper to the helpless. You see, when you say, I can handle this on my own, then what's he going to do? He doesn't need to be around there. But when you say to him, I don't stand a chance, you know, Jehoshaphat was a great king, and he was also a great military leader. And when he had a battle to fight one time, Moab and Ammon and some of the children of Mount Seir, who were Ammonites, came after him. And you know what he said? Lord, he said, we're so little, we don't even know how to go out or come in. We cannot fight this battle without you. And the Lord was right there to help him. He said, Jehoshaphat, don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it. You're not even going to fight. Just stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord. Wouldn't you like God to be able to say that to you one time? Just stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord. Well, the first thing to do then in temptation is to quit trying to go through your little ritual and an ordeal about how you deal with it and just get to Jesus. The Bible says there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape. So he's the one that makes the way to escape. He's the one that brings into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. He's the one that takes charge of these things. You simply have to yield to his presence there, and he'll help you. That's right. And boy, I'll tell you what, thank God that he's a succorer. Thank God that we're not left to live this Christian life on our own. See, religion says, I'm not going to help you. I'm going to give you the guide, and I'm going to give you the ritual, but it's up to you to do the work, not Jesus. He says, I'm not even going to bother with the guide and the ritual. I'm going to write this book. I want you to read this thing and let it become a part of your life. I'm going to take up residence inside of your life, and I'm going to live my life inside of you. I've already been down through this routine one before. I've seen it all. Hadn't you ever heard people? I've seen it all. Been there, done that. Got the T-shirt to prove it. You ever heard people talk like that? He's been there. He's done that. He's got the wounds to prove it. And he is living inside of you, and he says, quit trying to impress me with your religious zeal. Let me live my life in you, and we'll make it through. So you've got somebody who's separate. He didn't fall to these sins. He's like the Samaritan. He'll pay and provide for everything to get you back whole again. He's your separate. He'll lead you where he wants you to go, and he's your succor. He'll help you get there so that you don't have to worry about not getting there when you're supposed to show up on time. So trust him. Trust him. He's the one. Amen.
Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.